when we can get to the reality of that you were saying in song. I know you have something of that within now. But what would it be if all the hearts were tuned into singing of His honor and His glory and gathered to worship? I think we're farther nearer to, let me put it that way, nearer to that than we were 10 years ago. So maybe the Lord will help us to keep progressing towards the spiritual, where the Word of God one more time will become quick, living, and powerful to our souls. It's a great grief to know, and I know. I mean, it would shock me greatly for God to have anything to say to us to the degree that it arrested us and we couldn't get out from under His dealings. It'd surprise me if God did that. But we'll try to remain faithful. To those of you that are learning something of your inability, utter inability, to do anything unto God without His help, you know you can't pray. You can say words, but you can't pray without the Spirit of God. You can read, but you can't understand, especially beyond the natural mind. You can't understand except you have the Spirit of God. And if you're coming to know that, you also are well aware that there is no man that has the ability to fetch news from a far country. We don't possess that ability. And if you receive, be it a small morsel, it will be because God gave it. So you knowing your own inability and the preacher's inability to be of help, of eternal help to your souls, and you remembered to ask the Lord to help for this evening, I am much indebted to you for your prayers. This is the way I feel. You all have been to the point of sickness where you didn't eat anything for days. And then you get up and there's a little appetite coming back and you have a half a cup of soup. Well, I've not lost my appetite, and I don't know if it's just old age and worn out, but I have had absolutely no energy, mentally, physically, and spiritually, Monday or Tuesday. It was a bad time physically. And I got up this morning and I had just enough energy to begin opening the scripture, sat there and read yesterday, but I think that's about all I did. But I trust that the little energy that the Lord gave mentally, physically, and especially spiritually, I trust it'll be a benefit to your soul. And if you come hungry, God can take the words of a dumb mule and speak. And he can speak through a rooster. He sure can speak to you if you come hungry. I'd ask you to turn back with me to the 50th Psalm. And I want to read verse 21 again. Didn't come in on the last part of that verse. But the gist of the evening thought will be on verse number 22. Consider this, ye that forget God. Would you pray with me for our Father's help and your edification? Gracious Father, we bow again for the firm belief and persuasion within that we are talking to the one true and living God. We know, Lord, you hear. We know if we ask in Christ's name, under the direction and guidance of the Spirit of God concerning thy will, that we will have the petitions that we desire of thee. And yet, Lord, I do not know if it is a lack of faith or more of an awareness of just how little we have of the Spirit of God. In opening the scriptures, in opening our hearts, and Lord, speaking plainly, very clearly within, and with that authority that when God speaks, the people hear. I pray you'd help these dear souls. Certainly I do not know the condition in which they arrive. But I pray, Father, if it's pleasing, that you give them hearing ears and an understanding heart, I pray you'd create within a hunger and a thirst and a need to hear news from a far country. And Father, if we are thirsty souls, that news will be like a cool drink of water. If we are hungry souls, it will be like manna spread before us. Sweet, even that which might be bitter to the natural man will become sweet. In the children's hearts, I pray you'd have not only the hearer, but the preacher catch our attention, O God, for we all are hastening to that day. When there will be no mediator or no high priest, but Christ will fold up that garment and once again become God all in all. Tonight we have him, hopefully interceding for us. Let us not be careless or neglectful in hearing. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 50:21, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. And folk, you know that that's a true statement today. I mean, when I was in the very beginning, and knew so little, I've seen folk under great conviction. I've seen folk that could hardly sit on the pew because of the weight that was brought to bear upon their souls. No more. You know God's silent. You got that witness within your own heart. It is a rare thing for God to speak. But in my silence, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove and set them in order. I'm going to set them in array. I'm going to put them out there before your eyes. Every one of us shall give an account of every deed we've ever done. We shall give an account for every idle word that we have spoken. For every deed performed. And God, it'll be like the old folks before there were dryers. They all had clotheslines, and everybody's clothes hung outside on the line. That's what God's going to do. I'm going to hang them out, not only before thine eyes, but before everyone else's eyes. Don't you want your sins under the blood? Don't you want your sins where even God cannot recall them, having buried them in the sea of His forgetfulness? Are you taking the silence of God to mean that that you are doing is right? Listen, folk, be it in time or in eternity, God will not always remain silent. When He is, we get to thinking that He is such a one like unto ourselves. I wouldn't be that strict on people, therefore God's not that strict. I wouldn't be that demanding, therefore God is not that demanding. I don't see a need of being holy in everything that I undertake to do, therefore God does not see a need for me to be holy. Let me say it this way, the God that I have formed in my own mind. Would you read with me the 65th Psalm? The only place that we're going to get all this straight, who God is, what God is, who I am, what I am before God, is verse number 4, Psalm 65. Blessed is the man thou chooseth and causeth to approach unto thee. If it is in eternity where God speaks to us, it will be too late for us to hear. If we are continuing to form a God by our own natural inclination and perception, the only thing that will ever cure this is that God chooses you and that God causes you to approach nigh Him. That's when everything's going to get straight. You will begin to see, granted, through a glass darkly, and through a lattice board, only little segments of God, but you will begin to see who and what God is as God causes you to approach nigh Him. Everything will be cleared up there. It won't be a one-time visit. It won't be a one-time look, because there's so much in us that over time God will make us to know this is not right. That's not right. And I used to get away with a lot more. carelessness. May I say at times a lot of indifference that I can't get away with now. I used not to know, even in my service to God, just how bad a person I really am. Oh, not that I'm out committing great sins so somebody can put their finger on that. No. I've just got a heart that's in opposition to the things of God. The treasure of God lies in a carnal vessel that is at enmity with anything that is spiritual. Have you ever tried to pray, got into prayer, felt like that there was no brass above your head and that it was ascending higher than the ceiling, and before you knew it, your mind was off out there running rabbits? If you're honest, you'll tell me, or I'm an odd creature, you'll tell me that that happens to you. And when you catch yourself, you have to tell God how sorry you are in not being able to keep Him foremost in mind and in attitude and in heart when speaking with Him. Folks would offend you if you were talking to them and you could tell that their head was a million miles away. What of God? Causing to approach. Job said, "Happy is the man that the Lord corrected." He whom God loveth, Proverbs 3, He correcteth. He'll make you guard your steps. He will make you become more careful with the language of lips. He'll make you become more careful with the attitude of heart if you are His. For he whom God loves, God corrects. And a wise one said, "Son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. If God loves you, He's going to correct you." Do you have the switch or rod of God having been placed upon you recently? Do you have a gentle rebuke from God? A little nudge by the Spirit of God. This is not right in your life. Have you? One of the great judgments of God against this land in which we live is that God is to most people what they think He is. Because you think God is such a being does not make it so. In the school, those God chooses, and though God, those God causes to approach nigh unto Him, the real, true, living God is being drawn by the great artist, the Spirit of God, who only can tell and teach and paint in the heart's eye the image of God. But there's about as many gods in this land as there are professing Christians. Which God are you serving? One that you've made? One that religion has made for you? One that nature within you has played a great part in deciding that this is how God is? Or are you approaching nigh God from time to time? God said to Israel, time and again, when you get into the land of Canaan, you will destroy all nations. You will destroy all people. Now you fit that, and I doubt that you can, with the fact that God loves. And yet here advances this vast army into the land of Canaan, wiping out everything that breathes. Destroy them all. Tear down their altars. Take their images and cast their images and their altars and burn them in the fire. If you don't, this will be that you will have as a God one day. And sure enough, everywhere they left people and brought them in tribute, making them to serve, eventually they ended up serving the gods in the land of Canaan. And as they spared people and altars and images, idolatry came into that nation of which they were destroyed. Now you put this in a mental note in your mind. How can you figure this? A king sends to fetch the idols of a heathen nation, even though the gods that nation served couldn't help them in time of war, and yet this king in Israel wanted their idols. One of them sees an altar down there as he's marching through the land, and he said, "You get that in your mind. You fix it in your mind. You draw it. You do whatever. When we get back to Israel, that's the kind of altar I want in the temple of God." And God let them have. Now here's your life. If you are a Christian, somewhere along the way, a word came to you, like of that of Philip to Nathanael. We have found him of whom Moses and the law did write. And there was in your heart a note sounded that the Christ of Scripture is the Christ of God, and He alone can save. And you started out, if you are a Christian, here's your life. You started out after Him. Most of the Jews, 600,000 men of 20 years old and upward, marched from Egypt across the dry sea into the wilderness. Same crowd bowed their head and worshiped God when Moses told them God was going to deliver them. They were all thankful and excited, and they witnessed the destruction of Egypt. They witnessed the Red Sea drying up. They witnessed, some of them for 40 years, witnessed miracle after miracle of God helping them. But they didn't have within a heart for God. Because it was but a few days when they got up off their knees for thanking God that He was going to deliver them, till they were cursing Moses and Aaron for bringing this hardship upon them. As long as things are going smoothly, we all delight in serving God. But let that come across that adversely affects our old nature, and we're everyone ready to sit down and act like a spoiled child that the lollipop has been jerked out of his or her mouth and a spoonful of green beans put in. We want the lollipop. We want the sweet life. We want God giving us our wishes and our desire. And if the journey is compatible to our wishes and our delights, we've got no problem serving God. But let the water be missing. And you, and the children, and the cattle get thirsty. Or your diet be what started out is that sweet wafer that God protected from the filth of the earth by sending a dew and holding it up. And that God protected it from all the other filth, the flying insects or whatever, by covering it with a dew. And so you've got a layer of heaven's moisture under, and you've got a layer of heaven's moisture above. And God said, now when the dew starts drying, you'll see it lying around on the frost. Go out and gather it. Sweet. But it got old. Their taste buds had become so used to it that it was a boring meal. Walking under the sun, they begin to murmur and complain. Now, folk, our religious nature, or our nature, I should say, is being so religiously trained that you don't have a great deal of objection from your old man when it comes time to head out to the worship. When you were younger, you'd rather been out playing with the other children, or on the lake, or with the family. But he's becoming trained. And he doesn't harass you now as before. He just gets dressed and comes on. And everything's all right, as long as the minister will keep the sermons within a not too lengthy period of time, as long as he will make no great demands such that we have to sacrifice. And he commends us for our faithfulness and our good deeds. And he doesn't press the demands of God upon us. We can endure for a few minutes a week. If he speaks smooth things, and he tells us about the attributes of God that are favorable to our own nature, we have no problem sitting for an hour. And yet Israel grumbled and complained. And most of the Jews throughout the Old Testament and Christ's time missed him. Satisfied your folk were holding a type or example. They've got bread in their hand. It doesn't matter what the bread represents. They've got water from the rock. It doesn't matter what the water represents. They've got the brazen serpent on the pole that'll heal. It doesn't matter what that represents. Is it not the same today? In most, there is no continual seeking after Christ. We're all becoming somewhat satisfied with our outward performance of duties. But it must and cannot be in your heart. No type, no example. Ever gave the smallest crumb, so two men out of 600,000 walked into Canaan. Two men. But everybody was okay because they had heaven's bread, they had water from the rock, they had the fiery serpent on the pole that would heal. No, they weren't okay because they did not have a heart running after Christ. So if you're a Christian, you got that within, longing and satisfied with nothing less than getting to Him. But here also is your life. You found Him, and you made this assertion in all good faith and honesty. You found Him, never to lose Him again. Lord, if you will save me, I'll serve you the rest of my days. I'll do whatever you ask. And there was this resolution. I'm not going to lose him now. And yet, every one of us, if we'll get Judgment Day honesty within, we've forgotten Him. Now consider this, ye that forget God. Like Mary and Joseph, Luke 2:44. We've continued on our way. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 44. Here we are from time to time. They're headed back from Jerusalem, their worship service. And they're all so caught up in family reunion and talking about the good times that they don't know that He, Jesus, is not with them. Verse 44, but they supposing Him to have been in the company. Went a day's journey, and they sought Him among the kinsfolk and acquaintances. How many of you found Him at the family reunion? How many of you months back or years back, you determined within yourself after He had healed you from backsliding, after He had renewed one more time that sense of pardon, you promised, I'm not going to lose Him this time. And yet, how many times have you attended the service or knelt on your knees and you intended on staying focused? You tried all you could, and then the amen is said, and you snap back and you said, where have I been? What have I lost? You've been somewhat faithful in reading, only to find out later Christ was not in the assembly for you. Christ was not in the prayer for you. Christ was not in the searching the Scripture. Now you're sitting there thinking, but are not these things means wherein God has ordained that we get to Him? Yes, but they are only means. This Bible is not Christ. This assembly service is not Christ. You praying is not Christ. They are only means. Don't count them for Him. They are only means to get you to Him. And how about the hymn? Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. How many of you honestly know that language within? You know that there's that proneness within you to forget God 5 minutes after He's done something for you. It's just there. Prone to leave the God I love. By night on my bed I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. There in darkness, there without the ability to use means, no light. I saw him. In heart, running after him, but I found him not. There was no rest within the heart that was trying to find him. And when it became day and I got up, I went about the city and the watchman found me. And I said, have you seen him? Do you know where he is? Who? Oh, the one that my heart loves. No. I can tell you about, but I can't get you to him. You can come seeking, but don't leave satisfied unless you got a glimpse of him. Consider. Sad commentary. Or how about these lines? Sad, sad, that bitter well. Almost, but lost. I wonder about that one in great authority sitting on the throne, trembling. When Paul spoke of righteousness and of judgment. Or that one that said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I wonder, that tune has sounded in his ears time and again. I got that close to Christ when Paul the prisoner presented him to us. But Christ is no longer in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He's on the outside. Knocking at an individual's heart. Philip might say, we found him. The woman at the well might tell the men of the city, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? But only a fool will rest in the words of another without a diligent search to see if what Philip said is true, if what the woman at the well said is true. Have you found him? Well, yeah, the preacher told me I had, or this worker told me I had. This one said I had. Oh. Did your meeting him produce something in your heart that has never been? And has it day after day created that continual longing to know more of him? Consider. And I'll close with this. That is, discern, perceive, or show oneself discerning. Or attentive. So God said, now all of you, I want you to consider this right here. Ye that forget, another word, ignore, wither. Like the vine with the roots snatched out of the ground, withers. Ye that forget. That is, you cease to care. God's saying, here's what awaits you. Now, folk, every one of us forget. Every last one of us. Life's activities and the demands upon us are so great in this day that we'll just wake up down the road somewhere a half a mile from where we left Christ. Guess where He is? Where you left Him. Where you walked away. And we'll forget until the sharp arrow of God's holy conviction hits our heart. And to our grief and to our sorrow, we remember last week He was precious. Last week He was near. We all forget. But the forgetting here is a willful, uncaring thought or concern as to whether or not you've forgotten Him. I said, if it doesn't matter with you, here's the reality of my promise. I will tear you in pieces. Some of you have not yet found Christ. I don't know if others of you are seeking Him, hopefully so. But it is an admonition, God's own word, God's own warning. Don't you forget. That's just a willful, unconcerned neglect. It doesn't matter anymore. There's so untold millions are going to run headlong into God Almighty, having made a decision, but from that point on, there was never a heart in them seeking after Christ. You serve a living Christ. You serve one outside the bounds of Holy Scripture, outside the walls of the local church. You gotta find Him in your everyday journey. But you'll never find Him till you have a longing heart to find Him.